Right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's been a real blessing to be here with you all this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, Lord. We thank you again for all that you do. We thank you that you have all things in your hands. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Give us ears to hear and hearts to apply, Father, and cling to what you have to offer us. Again, we just thank you. Again, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Appreciated the opening Cale gave just about being content and especially the part about complaining. And I guess I thought about it this week and I asked a question. What is the difference between whining and complaining? About the only thing I came up with, this complaining is just whining using clearer words. So next time you catch yourself complaining, just only because you can articulate it is the only thing that differs you from a little girl that didn't get in her way or whatever, just kind of put it in perspective there. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5:38. I'm going to read a few verses here. This is Jesus speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whosoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." I want to just, first of all, these are some difficult words sometimes. But I want to make a distinction of what a Christian is. A Christian is just someone who hears what Jesus says and applies it. You know, there's a lot of people, whenever you talk about the Bible, they just think that it's very difficult to understand. And if you're trying just to figure it all out theologically, or you're trying to come up with a certain answer for something that you're doing in your life or something, it can be a little difficult maybe. But the way it is given to us, as Jesus taught, is basically pretty simple. The hard thing is accepting what it says. That's where faith comes in. That's where trusting in God instead of our own wisdom comes in. And that's what, you know, we can, whenever we hear some of the things, the hard things in the Bible, I think it was Mark Twain said, it's not what I don't understand about the Bible that scares me, it's what I do understand about it. And that's really where we're at. And that's really the way God intended it to be. That's why, you know, when you just take it, take Jesus at His word, that's where the rubber hits the road. That's where truth comes in. That's where we actually learn to apply our lives and become a follower of Jesus. We can, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to understand some phrase in the Bible or some passage or something that they just don't understand. And we just try to tell them that don't worry about the things you don't understand. Just do the things that you do understand. Walk in that light that you have. These verses he's talking about not resisting evil. An eye for, you've heard in the Old Testament said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus says, but I say unto you, do not resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is something that's very difficult for us to do. But we sing this song, This Is My Father's World. You know, we've got to keep in mind that the things that are going on in the world are because there's a usurper in control. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the world that are wrong, that we just like to see fixed, or we would want to fix them. But God is in control. Talked with a brother this week, Brother Ishmael, down in Colombia, and we were just talking, and I told him that, you know, a lot of the things that are going on in the world, you know, you can look in the book of Revelation, things that you would never have thought that you would see happen are just kind of unfolding, right? It's just happening. And it's not necessarily just there's a lot of things that we see in there that are, you know, we don't understand, but we see the nature of humanity fighting against God. And we see the deception that Satan has upon the world. And people are doing things that we would have never thought they would have ever been doing. We're living in difficult times. But remember, this is our Father's world. This verse is, though the wrong seems so strong, He is the ruler yet. Though the wrong seems so strong, He is the ruler yet. And He tells us the best way to cope with this and to get through this life, being a disciple of His, is to not get so caught up in the wrong that's done us, the wrong that we see all around us, but to be able to turn the other cheek, knowing that all things are in His hands. We want to turn to Romans chapter 12. Read a few more verses pertaining to this thought. I'm going to start with some positive things here in verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. And what I meant by a positive thing is something that we can actually do instead of seeking revenge or seeking to right a bunch of wrongs that have been done us or going after something. Put your heart towards better things. Lift your heart up to better things. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, but cling to that which is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another, honoring in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Remember, this is our Father's world. This is the world we're striving for. Not lagging behind in diligence. Be diligent. Be faithful. Be dependable. Fervent in spirit. And serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. You know, if you just listen to the news all the time, it's the most depressing thing in the world. It's dark. There's nothing good in it. This says rejoicing in hope. You know, sometimes, and as we get closer to the end of the world, things are going to look darker. Things are going to look more desperate. Cling to hope, as this is our Father's world. Persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Here's how we get through these things, this little formula. Contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. You know, no matter what is going on in the world, no matter how dark it's going, we can still practice hospitality. We can still do these things that are good. In a dark world, this is how we shine our light. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. You know, right here are some hard things. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. There's a lot of situations that we're in that we cannot control. The other person. We cannot control the things that are around us, but we can control that we can still be at peace about the situation. We can still be at peace on our part. We can still be at peace with people, no matter what they do to us. And that's what the Bible's trying to show us here, that the kingdom of God is for those who can have the kingdom in their hearts right in the middle of this wicked world, no matter what's going on in this world. If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Like I said, there's situations where there's no peace to be had. I mean, there's situations where it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to change the other person's mind to doing what they're going to do. But the goal is to be at peace. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. You know, one thing that we don't want to have is, you know, I've seen people that say, "Well, I'm not going to do anything because the Lord will just give them 10 times more than what I could ever give." That's not what he's talking about here, and that's not the attitude that he wants us to have here. True peace and true reconciliation is that I'm not going to hold anything, and I would just assume the Lord didn't punish them. But that's in his hands. You know, we see the example of Jesus while he was on the cross, nailed there in agony on that terrible cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He, you know, a lot that the same person that would think that waiting on God to just couldn't wait till he pours the wrath on them wouldn't have been saying, Father, forgive them. He'd have been saying, Father, rain down your terror upon these people for what they're doing to me. That's selfish attitude. That's not the kingdom of God attitude. Stephen, when he was being, they were stoning him, throwing stones at him. And he was about to lose his life. And he looked up to the Father and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then that passage, it shows Jesus. And it says Jesus was standing. You know, there's a, most of the time whenever we think of Jesus on the throne, and it's depicted most of the times in the Bible of him being on the throne, he's sitting on the throne. But here when Stephen was being martyred, he was standing. You know, just you go to a ball game and whenever everybody's sitting there and then there's something exciting happens, everybody jumps to their feet. And you can just almost see that idea or that thought that here Stephen was being faithful unto death. And he said, Father, forgive them. And Jesus was excited, if you want to think about it that way, standing. Never take your own vengeance, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. And it says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The things that we happen to us, or, you know, it's not necessarily what happens to us that's important. It's not what happens to us that's going to get us through this. It's our response to what happens. You know, it's not a matter of whenever someone does us wrong, the only thing that makes it where we can overcome that and get past it is when we do right in the situation. Fixing it ourselves, taking care of things ourselves, just makes what that person did wrong, it makes what we do wrong. Someone slaps us on the face, and it's a hard thing to be slapped on the face. And the easiest thing is to fight back, to retaliate. But to overcome, we turn the other cheek. You know, if we've talked about it being a war before. You know, if whenever people go to war and they're fighting, you know, if someone's shooting at you and you're shooting back, there's no difference. You're both shooting at each other. And you're both just trying to survive. So it's a... But to overcome evil with good is to turn the other cheek. Don't get involved in that situation. Don't even get yourself there. We overcome evil. The Bible says don't resist evil. Because what happens is we get caught up in it ourselves. Do not overcome evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's these things we started off with. Helping one another. Loving one another. Put your strength into those kind of things. It's a difficult thing. Whenever we first began, I grew up basically not even knowing that what Jesus said mattered. I grew up just being taught that if you believe that Jesus died for you and you accept him into your heart, you're saved. And the whole world seemed to revolve around that one time of our life. Whenever we accept Jesus into our heart. But whenever I began to just read the Bible and look at it for what it said, you know, this was one of the first things that really stood out to me. turn the other cheek. What does that mean? And I could make it mean a lot of things. But what was Jesus actually trying to say? And what did he say? Turn the other cheek. And then whenever the conflict came, that, well, what about going to war? What about all those things? All I could get is, how can, if Jesus said love your enemy, how could I shoot my enemy and still love him? Trying to defend myself or any other thing for that matter. To love our enemy, to do good to them. And it was a challenge, but that's what it said. And so we just began to apply these things into our life. And it seemed like every time that I really had to make a decision about whether I was going to believe something like this, a test came with it. Do I really believe it? I remember whenever I was going through the divorce or getting ready to go through divorce or whatever. I had nothing to do with it. I told her I wasn't going to get a lawyer. I wasn't going to fight her. The verse came that whenever your adversary is against you, go talk to them and work it out, lest they deliver you to the judge. And so whenever I knew that this was going to happen, I just told her, I want the children, you know, every other weekend. I want to share them. I want to work all of this out. And I agreed that I would pay for so much and just worked out a deal. Well, whenever the court date came, I didn't go. I really had not even thought about it, but my brother was friends with the lawyer and the lawyers in Cassville, and when it all happened, he called and said, this is what happened. And it was just completely opposite of what I had thought we had, the agreement that I thought we had. And instead of getting the children 2 days, I got them 1 day. Instead of any holidays or anything like that, I didn't. It was all up to their discretion. Instead of paying for them, I tallied everything that I was supposed to pay, that the judge said I was supposed to pay. They had my income, and I had $2 left over at the end of the year if I would have paid everything that was supposed to have been paid to live on. That was before I even bought a hot dog for myself. I had $2 left over. It was just a really slap in the face for the agreement. And doesn't matter. I'm just relating this. I've forgiven. There's no animosity at all. In fact, I look back on it and I'm glad for it. It's in the Lord's hands. One of the hardest things was just the decision with the children. And like I said, my brother was involved, and he got a hold of his lawyer, and they found that this whole thing was, there was some technicality that the whole thing could have been thrown out. The whole court case, everything, just completely thrown out. And all I had to do was sign a little paper, sign the lawyer's paper, and everything would be thrown out, and it would all have to be started over again, and could have got it done a better way. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't even sign the paper, because I would have had to go on and fight in court, and I had to have said some things and revealed some things that would have been as bad as slapping someone or hurt or a physical resisting. I just couldn't do it and wouldn't do it. And nobody understood that. I appreciate the concern my brother had and my family. But one of the hardest things was one night my parents came over and said, "Why don't you sign this thing? Why won't you just sign this thing?" And I said, "I just can't. Jesus said not to fight, not to resist evil. This is not just someone taking a few things away from me. Who cares about that? It's not just someone slapping me. This is someone stealing my children with the whole power of the U.S. government behind it." And so whenever they said, "Why don't you do this?" And I said, "I can't." And I know they meant well, but then they said, "Don't you care for your family? Don't you care for your children?" And I could have died. Would have. That's all I care about. And common sense says, fight for them. But my trust was in the Lord. And I had given my family to the children, my children, my family to the Lord a few years before. And I could only see what Jesus said. And I could do it. Later, I've even heard that that's one of the things that were told my children, that I wouldn't even fight for them. Maybe that's why they still won't have anything to do with me today. But I was fighting a bigger battle for them than they ever knew. Because my battles aren't fought with some stupid lawyer. My battle was fought because of whether I was going to trust the Lord or not. Whether I was going to follow Jesus or not. That's nothing that I would ever, ever, ever ask for myself. You know, whenever we talk about the cross is what happens to you because you're following Jesus and you can't turn away from it. It's not something you could ever create for yourself. The cross is sometimes the worst thing in the world that could ever happen to you. And you have to decide whether you're going to take it up and follow or not. Praise the Lord. God's given the grace, or gave the grace, to get through that. Like I said, I have nothing but love and appreciation for anybody involved in all of that. It's just the way it happened. And I think I'm going to trust in the Lord with all things that happen that way. Like I said, sometimes believing something, you know, it's easy to talk about it. But whenever it comes down to whether we really believe it or not, sometimes it's a lot bigger challenge than it's easy to have the doctrines figured out. But it's only whenever we're really tested with it that do we really believe it or not. First Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 1 says, "Is any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the unrighteous, not before the saints?" You know, does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to law before the righteous, unrighteous, and not before the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life? So if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account in the churches? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? Here is a case in the churches. Evidently there was two brethren that were at odds with each other, and they went to court against each other. And Paul is just saying, this is, you know, the saints are going to judge the world. Why in the world would we submit ourselves to a court of law? Why would we let a man decide these things? I guess that's one thing. In my case, I'd seen people go through divorce, and I'd seen the parents just fight and drag each other through the mud, just ugly, fighting for the children or whatever. And I just couldn't. One of our good friends had done the same thing, and the parents hated each other. And it's just an awful thing, and I just was not going to do that. It says, brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. Then verse 7, it says, actually then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits one with another. The very idea that we would have to go to a law and settle something is a defeat already, he says. That you have lawsuits one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud, you do this even to your brethren. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? And it says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Point is here, verse 7, it says, actually then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits one with another. Why not rather be wronged? The way to win is to lose. In this world, we may lose things, but this is our Father's world. This is our Father's world. He's still in control. We may lose things on this earth. We may be defrauded. We may be defamed. We may even be killed. But He's still in control. He's still in charge of all of it. And you know, heaven is a real place where God is, where righteousness and goodness and mercy and all those things exist. But they can exist here in the middle of this dark world too. And nobody will know it. Nobody will see it when it's going on, hardly. Nobody will recognize it when you're going through it. But God does. He's still in control. No matter what is happening in this world, no matter what may happen in this world, God is still in control. And we'll only know the true picture. We'll only see the finished product whenever we are with Him in eternity. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right, well, Lord willing, we'll meet back here at 6 o'clock for supper. God bless you all. Depart in peace.